Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you want to get involved in the conversation, hit us up on the Twitch, on the YouTube, or the Franklin Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. It's time for NFL overreaction or reality. I'm going to start it off because the names keep piling up. NFL overreaction or reality. Nobody actually wants to be the Jaguars head coach. So
reality.
Ben Johnson was like, nah, I'm good. And Liam Cohen, who is supposedly the favorite, he went ahead and pulled himself out of the Jaguars head coaching search. Is it possible that nobody wants this job?
With a top five quarterback, according to the con we have on?
I mean, you don't think that. I don't think that. Nobody in the NFL except for them thinks that.
So is it just a cursed franchise? No matter what.
It's run poorly.
Yeah.
They are a poorly run organization from the top. And I think you can look at every organization that's in a bad spot right now. They all have similar features when it comes to being run poorly. You can't figure out, you know, how much command you should actually give to your coach. Your staff is just a disorganized mess, and you think you have the talent, but you don't really. So that's like they didn't have a true number one receiver. They did this year with Brian Thomas, though. They got a legitimate, but they paid Christian Kirk like a number one receiver.
Yeah.
That's a bad decision. That's a bad front office move. The coaching staff, you hired Urban Meyer thinking this thing's going to be just great. And then that thing just couldn't get going. So because of the way that they run things, I think it's just the organization is run poorly and they need somebody a little sharper in there.
Man, look, besides getting rid of their GM, which that still boggles the mind, I decided to just look up the Premier League table just to check out a hypothesis I had. And Fulham, which is also owned by that family, is number 10 out of the 20 teams. So, like, maybe they've just been really successful business people whose sports franchises are going to kind of, they're fine.
Yeah.
Here's what's surprising to me. And look, not that I've totally given up on Trevor Lawrence, but I'm very disappointed with his career. Is coaches are saying, nope. Like, so yeah. You have this guy who, yes, he is under a big contract starting next year at $55 million a year, pretty much. And they're saying, nope. But just like, all right. I mean, a lot of people would say, I can fix that. I have a highly talented, high school successful, college successful, at moments NFL successful, but disappointing career. And people are saying, I can't fix
it's too much
the whole
work.
Big thing, even with that guy who supposedly has a lot of talent.
A guy like Liam Cohen, there's two schools of thought here. Well, I can wait for another job, or I have to take this job that isn't great. And I have to turn an organization around that I'm not necessarily ready to turn around.
Yeah.
And so like that's where I think some of these coaches that have this chance, they realize they don't necessarily want to go with what Canales just did and have to deal with that.
Yes.
And then there's some veteran coaches like McCarthy are probably like, yeah, but that's not really where I want to be.
But they might accept it. Are you saying Mike McCarthy?
I'm not saying that at all. But okay. Like a lot of, so there's somewhere in between where there's a guy who's a coach that's young enough to not really care about that and is really primed to go, I got the whole thing built in my mind. I just need to sell it to them and get them to sign off on all the things I want.
The analysis of not just an athlete, but just successful people in general. Like, I would love to just read more and see more, and I'm sure it's out there, about like the analysis of an ego that it takes to be like, I can fix it, and being really successful. But then that ego also eventually being your downfall because you're like, whoops.
Yeah.
I guess I went too far.
Yeah, the ego part of it is always, and I kind of asked you the same thing about like guys like Terry Francona and Bruce Bochy. when they're looking at organizations, do they go, this is the right fit, I can work with this? Or are they like, I can work with any of these themes?
I think you can be choosy.
Yeah.
In a Bochy, and they don't need to manage the Dodgers, but they are looking at, I like, one, the front office that I'm going to be working for, and then I see potential in the team that they have, and then they usually, it seems like, get the most out of that team.
And I do see people, and we kind of talked about this, people in the fan text talking about, if you got rid of Trent Baalke, nobody likes him. I can't rule that out. Like, I can't rule out, I have no idea what the split is between, I'm leery about having Trevor Lawrence on this new contract versus, I think the guy who's a GM is a jackass, and yeah, I don't really want to work with him. That's a fair point. All right. NFL overreaction or reality? What happens in the playoffs always impacts who you think should have won MVP. So, like, I get it. MVP is a regular season award, but what happens in the playoffs almost always impacts who you think should have won the award.
It does. I mean, like, right now, as soon as that game was over,
advantage Josh Allen.
Josh Allen was, he won, even though I thought Lamar Jackson played a pretty damn good game too,
especially in the second half.
But yeah, it does, and so immediately my mind goes to that, but then I have to tell myself that's not how voters are working. But I always, especially if there's a head to head, there's a head to head that just makes sense.
So, like, I know he's going to win the award, but let's say that Bo Nix had just the most unbelievable regular season. It was just a little bit better than Jaden Daniels. I'd be in the same position right now where I'd be like, well, clearly Jaden Daniels is the rookie of the year. And I'm like, well, that's not really how the award works. But that's what I think almost every time.
I'm a hypocrite. So yes and no. Right. Okay. There's times where I look at it and go, no, Dirk Nowitzki was MVP of the 2007 NBA season.
Yep.
They went 67-15. He was awesome. He led them to the best record by far in the NBA. Like, so if we're going to do this, then I'd have to be saying, look, Dirk shouldn't have been a top five candidate for MVP that year because they lost to a bad team, a hot team, but a bad team in the playoffs, who did absolutely nothing after that year. They just won a miraculous 1-8 seed situation. But then I would look at and go, well, like Embiid and Jokic, when Embiid won, you'd be like, look, morons, like, obviously Jokic is way better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I can be a hypocrite. And what I can say is, in certain situations I could say no, and in certain situations I could say yes, because maybe last year he didn't even finish close to Lamar Jackson. He didn't finish, I guess, close to Dak Prescott.
Yeah. But yeah,
the best player in the world by far in 2023 was Patrick Mahomes. He proved it in the playoffs.
Yes.
He beat Lamar Jackson. He won the Super Bowl. He went on the road and won multiple games, you know? So I don't know. Like, I can see both sides of the argument.
Okay, I'm going to get back to Lamar Jackson in just a minute, but I'm intrigued by y'all's answer to this. NFL overreaction or reality, fixing the offensive line will fix all the concerns about C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think for the most part, yes.
Because one of the things that I was thinking about...
You gotta give him a chance, man.
Yes.
You have to give him a chance.
Second year...
I agree.
Think about... I know this isn't fair because I do think he's way better than Dak Prescott, but think about Dak's second year and how teams made adjustments to him. And there was a little bit of an issue with Zeke Elliott's focus in the second year of his career because of the looming suspension. And then it did happen during the year. So I look at it and go, I think CJ Stroud is going to be great. But yes, if you help his offensive line out, he should, I think, compete in his career for an MVP or MVPs.
And I definitely agree with you guys on that. Some of the numbers weren't particularly shocking. Like, I know he took a big drop in passing yards, like about 55 per game, less touchdown passes. But it was the interceptions. He went from 5 to 12. Now, I realize that can obviously be a direct product of having more harassment on you because of a shoddy offensive line. But I also did wonder, because there's some of those interceptions.
Talking about our coach, man.
No, not yet. But there are some of those decisions, you watch these games and you're like, that wasn't the offensive line. Like, what were we looking at?
And listen, man, I would have to dive into that for sure. But there's a lot of times where maybe you see a ghost because your offensive lineman wasn't there before. And now I don't trust that he's going to be there on this play. You have to trust it.
Sure.
But I don't trust that that's going to be there. So I have to do something to take up for it. And now I've made a bad decision.
Now.
But give him time. Give him space to work with.
Okay.
I have a lot more faith in him.
NFL overreaction or reality. Lamar Jackson will win a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback. Now, several Ravens players said this. Patrick Ricard is one of them. He said, it's inevitable. He's going to win a Super Bowl. I want to be a part of it. It just sucks that it hasn't happened yet. And I get it. If you're in the Ravens room, odds are you probably really think that. But you also definitely wouldn't come out and be like, I don't know, dude. Probably not going to happen. So I'm asking you guys.
If you're one of those guys that didn't want to practice in the cold all week and Lamar said, hey, we need to practice in the cold, and then y'all end up losing.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not on his side.
He tried. So overreaction or reality, Lamar Jackson will win a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback.
I'll say overreaction just because it's so tough. And in his conference, it's so tough to get to the Super Bowl. In the last 7 years, there could be 14 different teams to get to the AFC championship game. Well, one team's gotten there 7 times out of the 7 times you could have done it. It's so difficult to get there. He also has Joe Burrow in his own division. So to win that division, I get they did it again. They've won it back-to-back years. But it's not easy. The Browns are horrible and going to be horrible. But I look at that division and go, going into next year, can you just say, yeah, Baltimore's going to win that division again. They're going to get at least one home game. I would say that's not so easy to say. Going back to CJ Stroud, I'll bet you right now $1,000 that they win that division again. It's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that he has the opportunity. I think he has another 5 years or so to get it done. But if you're making me say, oh, he's going to win the Super Bowl, well, I'd bet against it.
Yeah, no, it makes sense to pick the field. I'll bet on the talent and say that it's a reality. At some point, that talent has to win. The problem is there's a lot of factors in his way. It's the National League Baseball right now. All the power is at the top of their conference. So I think the talent's there. I think everything's ready for it. It just has slipped through his fingertips every time so far.
Now,
or somebody else's.
This one, I don't know even my answer on this just quite yet. NFL overreaction or reality, Josh Allen is doing just fine. It's his defense that needs to step up against the Chiefs. So here's my breakdown of their matchups in the Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes, which I realize they don't actually play against one another. In the regular season, 4-0 for Buffalo. They average 28 points per game in the playoffs against Patrick Mahomes. 0-3, they average 28 points per game. The defensive difference, Kansas City in the regular season has averaged 19.5 points per game in those games. In the playoffs, 35.7. So my contention is Josh Allen can just stay the course. It is his defense that has got to show up.
What years, Kevin? What years were these games against Mahomes? I would like to
The playoff games.
2020?
Yeah, the playoff games were 2020, 2021, and 2023.
Okay. Wow. This is interesting. Going back to Josh Allen, the first 3 years of his career, 2 years of his career, yeah, three, his defenses were actually, all right, first year, his defense was ranked 18th in points. The next year, second. The next year, 16. Since then, 1-2, 4-11. And so,
where the hell has that been in the playoffs?
Yeah, that defense has been really good all year. Yeah. What's the difference whenever they line up against Patrick Mahomes?
It's Patrick Mahomes. Yeah,
that and how they decide to play him. The defense, I think their defense has gone, we're not going to do what everybody else does and just shell up and make sure that nothing gets deep. We're going to attack him. We're going to do all these things. Maybe they do need to just say, we're going to be a little more conservative and understand that our offense can be a little more conservative than we've usually been. And whoever has the ball at the end of the game is going to get this win. I definitely think the defense has to do their job against Patrick Mahomes, considering this year they were 11th. That's still pretty damn good. They should be able to keep up with it.
Part of me go ahead.
What do you think that they need to hold Kansas City to win the game?
16.
See, my number is actually a good bit higher than that. I'm thinking like 24.
Okay, I was thinking 23. If they can hold Kansas City to 23, then it's on Josh Allen. Hey, Josh.
I agree.
What happened here?
And like, they damn sure, if they hold him to 16, I'd be like, that's on you, bro.
You gotta. That's where I. And or James even Cook still, or, I feel like the Chiefs can win games with 16 points. So that's where I'm like, I don't know, man.
That's okay. Probably true.
Hold them to zero.
And but that's the thing.
They'll
if
win.
That if like, they
eventually maybe. They'll win. Eventually,
if they lose 16 to 14, it's going to be a tough argument to make that Josh Allen got screwed by his defense.
Because be like, I'm gonna be like, God. And then, yeah, no, dude, your defense was really good.
Yeah.
Your offense, you scored 2 touchdowns.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, all the Mavs that are still hurt. Let's talk about that real quick. But also, what is the best part about Buc-ee's? Next right here on The Fan.
And O-Mac's up ahead to Grimes. Hardy, he is all alone and drills a three. You felt that one.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. What is your favorite part about Buc-ee's? 877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. But real quick, and I know they'll update this in a little bit, going into tonight's game for the Mavericks, if you looked at what they put out yesterday, Luka out, Dante Exum out, Jaden Hardy out, Dwight Powell out, Quentin Grimes questionable, Derek Lively questionable, Najee Marshall questionable, Klay Thompson questionable. So that's 8 people, and then half of them were out and half of them were questionable. I'm not saying that none of those other 4 will play, but that really
gives an opportunity for Kiesler.
Yeah, your guy. And so when you're going up against arguably the 3 best teams or 3 of the best 5 teams in the NBA over the next 5 days, that feels like a pretty overwhelming task.
So, just quit.
Or
oh, no.
What's the like? What's going on with our training department? What are we doing over here? Casey Smith leaves and everything falls apart.
Ooh, because he became the goalie, yeah, backup man. Goalie for yeah, the Stars.
He was like, I want to go pursue a hockey career.
That's Casey Justin.
Oh, okay,
or play with like the Ninja Turtles.
That's Casey Jones.
Okay, all right.
Ah, I was glad.
Or the Celtics coach.
But maybe, I mean,
that is Kate.
I'm sure everything's going to be fine. Their health is going to come back around.
No, it's not.
Health is not something that is like easily contracted.
You didn't even name Kyrie else on the list, who's playing with a bulging disc.
That's a good point. And that is also problematic. So 9 of your players are either out or have problematic concerns short or long term.
I think this is... I hope not. I'm almost in my head. I'm starting to concede this is just going to be a bad year. I think it's a very good to great team that's going to have a bad year and maybe not even make the play-in. I still think they're going to make the play-in, but that's where I'm at this point, that this is probably going to be a 7-10 seed that dealt with too many injuries to overcome. And I'm not blaming.
Sure.
I don't even know who the trainer is. I'm not blaming the trainer or the strength and conditioning coach. I'm not blaming Jason Kidd. I'm not even going to really blame Luka. He got a calf injury, you know. And maybe he's going to deal with injuries the rest of his career. Maybe he's not. I don't know. But this is just going to be a bad year for the Mavericks. And they do have their pick. And maybe Nico, with that one pick, can turn something magical into something in the offseason. I don't want to quit on this team, but... It's getting
don't,
to be.
Don't quit on this
it's
team.
It's too
Mike.
Much.
You don't. Yeah, don't quit on them though.
And unfortunately, because your record's going to be bad, as in you need Klay Thompson to help out now. If you're kind of like playoff Klay, or wait till the playoffs, and we've seen guys.
I want to ask you more about that.
That
for
like
sure, later.
They didn't have much of a regular season. Yeah. They're these old vets, and they figure out a way. Batum recently, or somebody like you're like. Where is this guy coming from? He's not done anything I can remember in the regular season.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the hope of Klay Thompson, but we need Klay to step up now.
I hear you.
We are hurt, and he can't do it. He physically, at this point in his career, cannot help you.
So I was reading an article from, depending on how you feel about this place, OutKick, and... The article is entitled, I went to Buc-ee's for the first time, and here's how it changed my life.
All right.
So.
Whoa.
Like, changing your life's a very big
yes.
deal.
Honestly, I don't think I realized that there were multiple Buc-ee's outside the state of Texas. So there are 35 in Texas. There are 15 across the rest of the country.
Why?
Are they all in the Southwest, I assume?
They're mostly in the Southeast, interestingly enough. Like Alabama, Georgia, there's several there. Because he was like, hey, I was driving down to, I think it was Atlanta. Oh, yeah, because he went to go see Notre Dame play in the national championship game. He's like, hey, this is going to be the day, and then not so much. But after that, he kept seeing all these billboards pop up for Buc-ee's.
And genius marketing.
It really is. And sometimes you're like, well, this place has got to be great because it's 150 miles away. And they're like, hey, you're going to want to check it out.
Yeah, their signs are hilarious, too.
Yes. And then, as a side note, I guess he ran into Golden Tate at the Buc-ee's. So that was a nice pick-me-up since their team lost. I know.
Did he hit him, when he wasn't looking?
Not that I'm aware
of. Decleat him?
But what he said was, so I got there and he said, I had no idea that it was like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory where every corner you turn, there's a scrumptious masterpiece. And there's always super nice employees. You can get beaver merchandise for everything you can ever consider. And there's an NFL sidelines worth of freshly made jerky and brisket. So my question for all of y'all, what is the best part of the Buc-ee's? Because Jess said it's obviously the bathrooms. That is not the direction that I would go. And Brandon said, I like the variety. You can get some candy you really like and a blanket. And so I was like, that's true. It's like a little mall.
It's an everything store. Yeah. If you're kind of on a road trip, or I'll say, even if you're not on a road trip, if you have kids who play sports around the Metroplex or around this region,
dude,
it helps you out so much that you have an hour and a half break in between your doubleheader or quadruple header.
If you go on a Saturday, it's like a coin flip that you're going to see a team of people, of players in there. They're just like, okay, well, they're doing exactly what you just
said. Right, and that's where Buc-ee's comes in handy when, for me at least, and I do like it. I like their brisket sandwiches. I like their sausage on a stick wrapped in a tortilla. Like, there's different ways to go, because there's a lot of parents out there listening right now that can tell you, yeah, we wake up at 6 a.m. and we get home at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
from our baseball events or from our volleyball events or whatever. And when you're near a Buc-ee's, it helps you out so much, because you can't, usually at times you can't really go to let's say a Chili's or something, yeah, because you're like, I don't know if we have enough time, and are you guys going to be able to serve us fast enough? So Buc-ee's hits the spot where the kids can get something, you can get something, and then pack something up for the next 4 hours you're going to be at the fields.
Now, everybody's idea of close is subjective. From Zach and Frisco, I've never been to Buc-ee's, don't have one that is close, but they said, I'm not so sure what's great and what I'm missing, but also they have two HEBs close to them. They said they live in Frisco. There is a Buc-ee's in Melissa. That's true. I'm not saying they're right next to each other, but depending on what you think is close, that's not too far away.
Kevin, do you want my thoughts on Buc-ee's, or do you want... Stop somebody in DeSoto calling me. Or do you want...
Yes, that one.
...an update on the Cowboys?
Is it going to make me sad?
Is this breaking news?
I don't know if it's breaking news. Which one do you want?
The one that's probably going to make me sad.
Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet.
Somebody signed with the Dodgers.
The Cowboys are planning.
No!
The Cowboys are planning to have a second interview with offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer today.
Shotty!
Per Tom Pelissero and Slater NFL, after spending nearly 4 hours with Schottenheimer yesterday, Dallas Brass sits down with him again.
Okay. Here's...
We were having a really good conversation.
We really were. And also, I
my Buc-ee's yet.
What did you not learn? He's been there for years. You just said they had a sit-down interview of 4 hours. What came up after the fact that they're like, oh, yeah, we didn't ask him about his last 5 March Madness brackets?
Wait a second.
It that you need to know?
Your dad coached in the NFL, too?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah. Marty? Wow. Oh. Hold on. Let me look into
what
that now.
What was his last name?
That's a fair question in these times. All right. Well, that is an update and a sad
that
one.
I do think that is an update. It's not necessarily breaking news as Mike asked, but it definitely is an update. It sounds more and more like they're pushing through with this. But I can almost guarantee you that case, you're still going to get Witten on the staff And then you're still going to have like the that concept of coach in waiting is just right there all the time.
Check in on everybody listening. Check in on Sean Sharif. Because this is his nightmare hire. Because
he just wants content.
Yes.
And Schottenheimer doesn't give him content.
That is true. So
he held your hand.
This is his nightmare.
Because he wanted content
Deion.
So bad.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Deion. All right, look, I'm going to pivot back to Buc-ee's because the news that you told me made me sad.
It's all right. Buc-ee's is a magical place.
All right. From the 817, always clean restrooms. From the 972, those magnificent breakfast options. Shout out to the Hippo Taco.
I'm never around Buc-ee's at breakfast time. So, like, usually when we're driving, whenever I've decided it's time for me to get something from Buc-ee's, it's late. Or so it's afternoon, it's lunch, you know, something after that. So, what are the breakfast options? Do they have really, like, do they have?
They have your breakfast tacos, breakfast burritos. They obviously have huge cinnamon rolls donuts.
They've upped their game on their bakery, which is cool, but it came at the expense of something that made me sad.
Beaver tails, I think, are pretty much apple fritters.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. So it sounds like I just need to go to Buc-ee's. There's one right by me. There's one really close by.
Now, the thing is your your egg stuff, I think, leaves at 10 or 11 o'clock.
Okay. All right.
And so then it just goes, brisket on the boards.
Yes. And that is absolutely what somebody said immediately. Brisket on the board. And then from the 214, brisket sandwich with that sauce. Sheesh. And then from the 817, I don't know if you consider this as well. My favorite part of the Fort Worth Buc-ee's is that one cashier that she is super thick and fine. I didn't want to discriminate between anybody who's putting out their opinions. That is about the Buc-ee's and the person who works there, I suppose.
I do all the brisket sandwich. I was very surprised. Kevin, you and I were heading to Houston for our first Super Bowl. By the way, we'll be heading to New Orleans here shortly. On our stop at Buc-ee's was the first time I'd ever had that brisket sandwich. I was like, this is quality.
It is very good.
And then I just love the bathrooms and the fact that I can pretty much park at any gas pump because there's a billion gas pumps. That's always helpful.
Here's what I want to know. I don't know if Buc-ee's releases these numbers or not. How much art and framed stuff are they selling? Because every time you go to the bathroom, they have all kinds of some of it's art, some of it's just framed stuff. What kind of sales do they do on those?
Taking a whiz.
Yeah. And I saw this John Wayne photo.
Take it off and be like, got it.
Yeah. And I thought.
This huge longhorn's going home with me.
And then as soon as you take that one down, they have another one and they go into the back of the bathroom.
And they hang it right back up.
It's just in a closet in the bathroom.
Like, I really want to know the report on how much they sell. Now, somebody said they're done with Buc-ee's because they discontinued their 7-layer burrito. I can never be done with Buc-ee's, but I will tell you this. The absence of the sausage kolaches in many of their locations now is very alarming.
My kids always want to get the dog a toy at Buc-ee's. They're always like, we got to get Landry something. I'm like, we never get Landry something from anywhere else. Why here?
That's another genius thing about Buc-ee's is they're like, hey, we made this peanut butter thing into a bone. Your dog would love it. $6. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh.
You're on your way home right now to see that dog. Don't you want to surprise him with something?
Your dog loves peanut butter or chicken or whatever flavor that you want. The beef jerky choices there are absolutely amazing. I wonder if anyone's ever like tried all of them.
I think Avery has.
Really?
Every time we go, he gets one of their beef jerkies. He loves them all.
I wonder where they make all their stuff. I get they're making, like, they have the brisket there or whatever, same but where are they Timu making the thousand different flavors of chocolate-covered or yogurt-covered pretzels or whatever?
Man, that is weird. And you know what the weirdest part about that all is? They have all their own specific kind of, like,
beaver nuggets
and pretzels and stuff, except for regular milk chocolate. And they're like, hey, just get a prepackaged bag. Just get this bag that's blue. I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like from the Keeblers.
Yeah, exactly.
The Cleveland Brown logo guys.
With the Cleveland Brown logo guy. Yes. That is a good way to put it.
Keebler Elf?
Somebody said all of the sodas that are there.
Yeah,
as
and they
well.
Make their own sodas.
Do they really?
Well, they have the regular, let's say, Coke, Mountain Dew, whatever. Yeah. But then they have their own, like, Buc-ee's root beer, Buc-ee's lemon lime Sprite or whatever.
I think their Rice Krispie treats are good too. Up at the front, they're good.
Bucky's and Melissa has an HEB being built right next to it.
Mike will never see it. Yeah, well, that is not a bad idea.
For baseball tournaments, that's where they have, I think, right next to the baseball tournaments, the landfill.
Okay.
So, man, can it smell like dump while you're watching baseball
games? Yeah. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I hate to do this, but based on the news that Corey gave us, coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Is this second interview a mere formality to offer the contract and just get this thing done? Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. You can call this segment Gridiron if you want. I feel like it's going to be pretty focused on one thing. And we bring in Eric Chiafalo to get involved in the conversation because about, 15 minutes ago, Corey gave what I feel like a lot of people would describe as a crushing update from Ian Rappaport. Would you care to rap-a-peat that?
They are planning to have another interview with Brian Schottenheimer. They are planning to bring him after 4 hours yesterday. Mm-hmm. They're like, not enough time to get everything we need from this guy. Mm-hmm. Now we need to go ahead and get this contract written up. We need to talk about our roster a little bit, what coaches he wants. This is not an interview.
This is a planning session.
Yeah. Here we
go! Okay, Dak.
Did they interview the two candidates that they needed, Salah?
Yeah.
And who else did they interview?
Frazier.
Okay, thank you.
So, yeah.
So they knocked that one out.
Yes, okay. They did. And so I want to know, Eric, where you're at as well. Corey, I think I'm exactly where you are. This is a second interview in terms of here's what we're offering and what coaches do you want to keep? And I think it's just a logistical thing.
Yes, I'm sorry. I just realized that I was supposed to be in some sort of Zoom meeting, so I just logged on in real time.
Look at this.
I was just juggling a couple of things. Wolchuk is doing the thing where he's actually on the Zoom meeting.
Do you need to go to BetQL?
No, I'm just on the. It's good. It's chill. It's whatever. But I had to iron that out.
Okay,
I heard a noise coming from his phone. I was like, do you not know what we do for a living here? Like,
I thought I muted that.
I think it was on Monday where Mike looks at something. He goes, oh, crap, I got a meeting, and ran out of the room.
Yes, I felt like Mike there in that moment.
So we told Sean, we were like, I don't know, maybe he'll be in crosstalk, maybe he won't. He ran out and goes, oh, crap, I have a meeting.
It's a great move.
Yeah.
All right,
it's a good meeting.
Does this feel like some people have maybe been excited about it. I feel like a lot of Cowboys fans have dreaded. It's done. It's Schottenheimer, and now we're just going to cross the T's and dot the I's.
Yes, that seems where things are heading. Now, this entire situation has been pretty surprising from every turn with the McCarthy stuff all the way to now, so you never really know, but that seems where this is what they want to do. I think their biggest thing was they wanted to have somebody who was willing to agree to have basically just be the bridge to Jason Witten. And McCarthy had too much respect for himself. And he was like, thanks, but no thanks. I don't need this. Schottenheimer, he's never been a head coach. This is the guy that you have. This is really your only option with the stipulations that you're putting in place with how much we want to pay you, how long we want to pay you. Oh, yeah, Jason Witten, he's going to be lurking in the shadows over your shoulder.
I thought they were against that too, though. I thought they were like, we don't want a first-time coach.
Yes, but now the stipulations that are involved, you really don't have a choice because that's the only guy that will even take your job. I mean, even Wolchuk and Broaddus are talking about how guys around the league, if Robert Saleh was getting the Cowboys or the Jags, if he could pick between them, he would rather just do the Jags thing.
Hey, they're still available. People are leaving that interview left and right. So if he wants that job, it's there.
If you have experience and self-respect and all these different things, options, then this isn't a job you want. So you boil it down to a guy who's never had the job.
It is a good opportunity for, I mean, if you want to be a head coach elsewhere too. You know the time limit you have. It's probably not forever with the Cowboys unless you're winning. And then that could change everything for you. But it gives you the experience to go and say, I can do it at another job. So it could be another opportunity for him down the road.
We see this all the time. Now, a lot of times the next guy isn't on the board.
Yeah.
But you look at, I'll just look at the Houston Astros, Bo Porter. He was there to lose 100 games a year. And then they found AJ Hinch. They knew, like, once we think we're good enough, mm-hmm. we're I we love Chris Woodward.
Kind of feel like that with Woody, yeah.
Right? We love Chris Woodward. I think that, yeah, it's a little bit of a raw end of the deal, but you do get millions of dollars for the most part to be the manager or head coach, and you have to go through the rebuilding thing. And as soon as, now I'm not saying this is a rebuilding thing, but I don't think it's going to go very well for 3 years here. And so it's like, okay, for these 3 years, I think the Joneses, they'll never admit this publicly. They know that they don't have a very good situation here. They have a hurt quarterback. They have a lack of money, lack of draft picks, and they're going to be like, probably for 3 years, we're not going to be very good. But Witten's going to get his experience for those 3 years. We have a guy that we don't really care too much about for 3 years, and I hope Shoddy does great. He seems like a very nice person. But 3 years from now, they hand the job over to Witten.
Yeah, yeah, and the only sort of hope that you have is that maybe there is a world where Shoddy has been sort of adapting and evolving, and his playbook was just being walked by McCarthy every day, and they never cracked it open
for two years.
And no, this is far fetched, okay. And this is the optimism that you can try and cling on to. This is very, very not likely. But leaving that open, like, we have seen coaches evolve. Even Dan Quinn. Sure. When Dan Quinn came here, it was fair. Like, I don't really know, dude. He had a Hall of Fame level defense from a personnel standpoint with Seattle. He was doing basic crap. He had great players. What does that really mean? And then all of a sudden you saw Dan Quinn. He actually used his time wisely after he got fired, and he changed things up. So maybe Shoddy has done that and McCarthy just completely neglected it. I find that to be unlikely, but I guess that's the hope.
I just saw somebody text in, and look, I know it's easy to say things right now, and then how are you going to feel in August or at least September? Somebody texted in. There's a whole lot of texts coming in right now. If the Cowboys hire Schottenheimer, this is from 575, I'm 100% done with this team. I'll be a free agent this offseason looking for a new team. And I'm not disputing that individual person, but how many people are going to say that? And then when September or whatever gets here, they're like, okay.
Just choose wiser than Baskey did going to the Jags, okay? That's my only request. Point. Just like,
it's horrible.
Really think this through a little bit, all right?
This is Schottenheimer's the reason, though. Like, that's the thing that's going to make
that
you
feels
say,
weird.
I'm out of here, because Schottenheimer.
Yeah, and all the other terrible decisions we've made here.
I'm kind of curious about what coach would have kept you, and obviously it's Ben Johnson, but the other part is the Cowboys, it's weird to me that they haven't talked to anybody really that anybody cared to talk to.
Nope.
And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. Like, they're like, hey, we got these four other people that nobody wanted to interview.
And there's thought that Ben Johnson was like, I'm good.
But they got these other people, like, you got Schottenheimer, you're talking Witten. Like, these names aren't names that are anybody's invested in. And that's the Cowboys' way, is like somebody that nobody would even think of. And that's why Deion's name made sense, because it was big, splashy, fun, and you wouldn't think of it, except for Mike did.
And part of it is Jerry just has no respect for the job, the position.
I agree with that, for sure.
Why would I spend a bunch of money on going to get an awesome guy when that's not what this is about?
So the word here is interesting, because I don't really agree with this description, but I like the rest of it. From the 214... this is babying Dak. Shoddy understands what Dak can do and cannot do. I don't think that's babying at all. If that's the case, I think that's smart. Like, for way too long, we have said, we pay you to do this, or we need our defensive system to look like this, so that's what I need you to do. I would much prefer have somebody who's like, Dak can't do that. Oh, yeah, no, he can't do that either. I will design my plays for what he can do. That's what everybody should do. Design for the personnel you have, not the personnel that you have aspirational thoughts of what they could be based on what you pay them.
Yeah, the babying part, I think, has a lot to do with verbiage, terminology. They don't want to change too much and break up.
Hey, it's all about comfort.
Yeah,
it's all about comfort.
Especially
dude.
Whenever you had a season like they just had. Everybody should be comfortable.
Yeah, we're so good.
You've earned the right to be comfortable.
We only missed the playoffs by 4 games.
Yeah, that's it.
I do think this is a 10-year hire. I think this is Schottenheimer for 3 and Witten for 7. Yeah. Now, we'll see how Witten does in those 7 years. But I do think that Jerry looks at this as, look, I probably have 10 years of life left. He's 82 years old. Like, that would be a great life to live till you're 92 years old. So this is his last hire pretty much as like a head coach. He gets the combo platter of Shoddy does it for 2 to 3 years. We're probably not going to be very good. I do think Jerry's smart. I know that what he sells. He's not going to sell this, but he knows that they're in deep crap. And then I just elevate Witten, great relationship with, he believes a lot in, and then his sons and daughter can deal with the next head coach because he won't be around for it.
Yeah, and for the 262, maybe 817, I'm not sure why people are getting worked up about it. We've been doing the same thing for years. And so I think there's two answers to that. First of all, if you're a fan of a team, it's easy to get worked up about just about anything. But secondly, what's happening on Sunday is what I think people thought was going to change things. We started our show on Monday. It's like, it ain't going to change nothing.
Two teams from your division.
Yeah, two teams from your division for the first time since like 86 are playing in the NFC Championship game, and you aren't in there. The Washington Commanders made the championship game, which means you are now the longest outlier in the NFC by 15 years.
I know, that was the craziest part about that.
And we're two teams away. I think the Lions and the Commanders, again, from every team of making it twice since you have last made it. You have the seventh or eighth longest drought for making a conference championship game.
Thanks, Kevin.
In the history of the NFL. All of those things, I think people thought that Washington win was going to be the embarrassment or the kick in the ass or however you want to describe it. That's not the way they operate.
It's true. And I was in that camp the other day when we were picking these games. Like, I would love to see the Commanders do something that the Cowboys haven't done just to sort of stick it to the Joneses. But ultimately, that's not what really gets them fired up. That's not what ticks them off. If the Commanders surpass them in total value of their franchise, that would be a miserable day for them.
I'm so with you on that. And I wasn't always there. I just want to say, I was born and raised in the Metroplex. And I'm saying, like, since in the 2000s and stuff, I wasn't always there. But the more you get to see how the sausage is made and understand everything behind the scenes, I definitely think that whatever team passing them for number one in value is what would be the reason for change, as opposed to, well, Washington just showed you're now the absolute worst in the NFC. Says you. My bank account says I'm fine.
That's what matters. That's the scoreboard. That's the scoreboard right there.
Yeah.
Jalapeno cheddar sausage. Like, what kind of sausage are we talking about? I mean, watching.
Don't worry, the Cowboys.
Whatever takes the least amount of effort.
Dude, jalapeno cheddar is the one seed.
The Cowboys are going to be on 3 Sunday night football games.
Yes.
2 Thursday night football games.
Yes.
They're going to have all, they're going to be on 2 Monday night football games. They'll have, like, that's what matters. And you just named it. It's money, but it also goes to relevancy. And they're still going to have it for a while.
I agree.
So they're in good shape.
You know what else is absolute money? The Texas Philly cheesesteak from Buc-ee's.
Look at this.
That's my go-to. That's my go-to. And shout out to your wife for the bathroom call out.
Yes.
Because
is it a tortilla or is it in a bread?
Yeah, it's a tortilla.
Yeah, tortilla. Yeah, that's tortilla. I've had it before. It's solid.
We might need to revisit that with the G-Bag Nation. Coming
I just
up
want
next.
Some A1 steak sauce with it.
Okay.
They don't have
that.
Oh,
that'd be a nice dipper.
Fascinating. Coming up next, let's talk some Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
What?
Your new favorite Rangers player or... You want to talk more about the potential new coach closing in? We can do all of that next on The Fan.